place. And then she used to go over at 10 o'clock. And then we used to say, Daddy, it's now 10 o'clock. You know, you have to finish. But she has so much to share that it was hard for her to stop. Difficult to stop her because she was also stricter at that time, much stricter than her last days after 100 years. But anyway, we learned a lot from all of those tiny lessons that Dadi used to do. And then even like during the day, people want to come and meet her individually with their problems or center life or little things. And Dadi used to go, Dadi didn't really care about her meals. She used to go up to 2 o'clock meeting people individually. And in those days, Dadi used to go to the dining room, and you know where you have to go up that slope. And everything, there's a whole process that when Dadi finished at 2:30, then she would go for her meal. She didn't want to go in the car. She wanted to walk up the slope. And we used to say to her, but the brothers are waiting. They've been waiting since 1 o'clock. They would wait 1.5 hours to 2 hours just to feed her. And to her, she would fill in the gaps where they would feel that they'd waited so long for her. She would give them so much love. She would give them toli. She would give them drishti. So all the in-between then got covered up with her love and her attention, that they didn't care that they had to wait for 2 hours or 2.5 hours. It was just so special those days. And Dadi used to actually sit, and then after finishing meal, it's not that we go there, have our lunch and then come back. Dadi made sure that she gave special attention to even the sevadaris. And you know, people used to run up when they used to see her. So again, we're trying to pull her away, but it used to be very difficult because people used to run up and want to take a photo or have toli from her. So all these little things.
I often used to think that, Hansaben, you had the best job in the world and the hardest job in the world.
Definitely, yeah. Within all this, we had to develop some of the powers, in which we did till the end. Maybe not all the 8 powers, but certainly 2 to 3 powers that we had to have, and one of was power of tolerance. Because it was not just having to wait for Dadi to finish with individual people or with groups or with any little business that she used, with her meetings. Everything used to go over the time. And so it certainly did give you that
practice,
yeah. But and in the end, it was you certainly did have that power. And so, and then dealing with people, you know, you have people of awesome scars and from different places, so having to deal with people, and sometimes you did get missiles hit at you. So it wasn't easy, and it was only we're using just to protect Dadi and her time and her energy, that sometimes we did have to come into a situation where we had to tell them that no. And and then there was power of adjustment. You had to certainly adjust to everything and to, with everyone. And especially during her her meeting with people, her traveling.
Well, she could change her mind in a second. It's like,
certainly. I know she was called, well, in Bharat, not in foreign, but in Bharat, certainly, when we used to go to programs, they used to say, Dadi Janki is the most stable mind in the world. They used to quote that every time. And I used to say, but she changes her mind every 5 minutes. So I don't know where they got that from. And it just makes me laugh. Maybe not laugh out loud, but made me laugh inside, that only if they stayed with her, they would know that her mind isn't stable, because she would change her mind.
It's highly flexible.
And flexibility, changing according to the situation and not be strict with whatever schedule was put in front of her. There was adjusting.
She would feel what was the need and she would adapt accordingly.
Yes,
you must have seen that so many times.
Certainly. And because she was, Daddy was like that, it was like you had somebody in front of you. She was a mentor, but an example in front of you. She was setting an example. She was setting, you know, for us to learn from, that yes, in every situation, you had to adapt to different situation. You had to adjust, and all of that.
And you had to be ready with a box of tolies. At
every time. And yes, certainly Toli was her favorite thing, subject, that she always wanted to give. Sorry, I'm changing the subject, because we're on the same track.
It's good.
Talking about Toli, yeah. She wanted Toli all the time, and we had to provide her with different types of Toli, and she would say, okay, not this one, give me this one, or this is not a good Toli. Well, where do we get nicer Toli from? This is all we have. And you know, like, and then being with her, we knew and that, you know, this is what Daddy liked and Daddy didn't like, and so we had to just follow that through, you know. We had to become more like, it was like also working with the five elements, how the water is, just
because I think that's
going with the flow of what she wanted and what she didn't want. And it totally, certainly, when we used to travel, I used to have a trolley bag, I used to have a handbag, and I used to have her carry her food bag, and then an extra bag of Toli and blessing card, because the moment we got out of the car, she would say, the wheelchair person, she would say, give me Toli. Or when we're checking in, she would say, she wants Toli. And we would get on the flight, she wants Toli to give to the crew, and not just one air stewardess, but she would say, call everybody. And they used to be shocked that how can we call everybody, because they had to do their duty. So then they used to say, okay, we'll call everyone one by one. So like with 20 crew member, 15 crew member, Daddy used to call them up, and she used to give a lot of love to them, and Daddy would actually get into chats with them. Where are they from and how long they've been doing that service. She used to be very friendly with the crew, so they used to in return look after her so well, extra more care than the other passengers, and that was so lovely to see. And also during, if there was any special festival, I used to know that, okay, Daddy would like me to carry maybe Rakhi or anything. If it was Diwali, then special Toli, special things, that she would become so happy just in giving. That he was a great donor, not just through words but through little things that would make people happy, and they would take away the happiness with them, that Daddy is giving me this thing. Even now, when Daddy is not here, that subtle, that is making that service happen, and Toli has been given, Daddy used to give almonds, and so we're still giving almonds, even though Daddy is not here, and blessing cards. So all of this thing is just keep carried on.
You mentioned about being in the flow, being in tune with Daddy, and I'd like to explore that a bit more in terms of the group of you who lived with Daddy, but specifically with you, because you were with her for such a long time. Was that right from the beginning, or did it develop in that sense of just being in tune with each other?
Yeah, going to the early days and how it was Daddy, because I've been living with her for the past 36 years, and in the beginning, it was only the international service started because of Daddy's presence there. When Daddy went to London to serve there, and it was Baba's thought of sending her, and Baba's blessing that she had to create a model of Madhuban. And when she went there, then service just started to expand with the power of knowledge, power of yoga, and the service that she was doing. It was enormous.
The love she gave everybody.
Yeah, and the love she gave. She used to see all the families that used to come from different parts of London, and all the families used to have young Kumaris, so some coming from East London, West London, North London.
And you were one of them?
And I was one of them. I was from West London. So Daddy once invited me to come and stay in the center, and just see how Daddy's mind was working, and very, very clever. I'd never thought that I would ever surrender, and I didn't even have a thought to surrender. I was quite happy with my Lokic life. And so she used to watch me, see all the Kumaris when they used to come to, because in London especially they used to have a Sunday class. Even now, this is since Daddy's days, and
Daddy, especially for Kumaris,
Daddy initiate, yeah. General Sunday class,
okay.
Daddy initiated that, because not everybody could come during the weekdays, and so special Sunday class was held in all the other centres in and around London. Daddy used to say that they had to all come to the main centre, and so all of us used to gather on a Sunday morning where a huge book used to be offered, and it's then that Daddy used to see all of us. And once Daddy said that, come on Friday and stay two nights, Friday night, Saturday night, and I was a bit reluctant because I've never stayed at any place before, not even in my Lokic days, apart from my Lokic home. And then I was really reluctant, and then I said, okay, I'll come. But I didn't realize that she had invited all the other sisters, all the other Kumaris. And so I used to actually in the evening catch three buses. Because I was living in West London, and so to go from one end to North London, I had to catch three buses. And it just happened that I used to just do it, and I used to love the traveling bit. But also, when I used to get to the centre, I see how much love Daddy used to give and sustain us and all these sisters. And it was a tiny place, Omnivas, Tennyson Road, very tiny. And there was like about 7-8 of us, or sometimes 10, in one tiny room. We had to sleep then in that little room. But it was fun because we were all this age, same age. I didn't realize that when I was doing that, when I was coming at the weekend, that it was actually preparing me for a center life. I didn't know that. And that is very far-sighted. And slowly, we used to do everything in the center. We were trained in such a way. In Bharat, they have a training of Kumaris who wants to live in the center for 1 month. They have 1 month training. And they go through everything from lecturing to cleaning the center to cooking to cleaning, everything. But in the West we don't have that. But our training was actually spending the 2 nights in Tennyson Road. So we were, you know, asked to do things around the centre, help.
What sort of things did you get involved in?
Mainly the cleaning, just preparing for Borg the next day, getting everything ready, things like that. But also in the evening when we were invited on a Friday night, Daddy used to especially make a point to sit with us. And it was that sustenance that really made us solid.
And a lovely group.
And the lovely group, that a group of girls, sisters, Kumaris, that were there. That's how we all grew up in the centre. So, yeah, it was a lovely, those were the beautiful days when we had that personal sustenance from Daddy, and Daddy sharing all her early day stories with us. So that was like fitted in the intellect. And then Saturday, Daddy used to have special programs sometimes in Shanti Bhavan.
The Brothers Bhavan,
Brothers Bhavan. He used to have a lovely time there. Bhaktis and picnics and lots of things happening there. The Brothers Bhavan is still there, Shanti Bhavan. Yeah. So we used to really enjoy being there. And then Shakti Bhavan, they used to be held.
The Sisters one.
Yeah. Sisters Bhavan, where they used to have lots of programs. Daddy used to especially go to these places, Shakti Bhavan, Shanti Bhavan, Pavitra Bhavan. And it was like a form of sustenance for individual groups. And it was lovely.
But creating also, what was so important to Daddy, creating a sense of family. You know, she that was so important to her, and those chit-chats were a vital way of doing that, weren't they? So when you moved into the centre, what other kind of things did you get involved in? Because I'm interested in, in a way, the qualifications that brought you to yours.
Actually, when we were just coming for 2 days, if there was any events, then just helping out with whatever leaflets or books or literature. I used to help Jim Niben with the literature. And then also the household chores, like the cleaning and the laundry and everything. I used to actually, the couple, they were quite old, who became instrument to bring me into Gyan. That was in Hounslow. The brother was quite sick, very elderly, and he used to only sit on a special stool, a special chair, and he used to always carry that around with him. So if he went to the main centre, he would carry this little stool and cushion with him. And so whenever I used to come to the centre, I used to carry his little stool, and I used to carry his little cushion, and I used to hold his hand, and actually the seniors fixed his seat that whenever he comes to the centre, he must sit in the front. And so I used to carry his stool and cushion and put it in the front, and then I used to make him sit on the stool, and the seniors used to see that, and everybody used to, it's the love and the care that was taken of this brother to always help him. I had great love for the elderly, and I still do, that if I see anything that they're not able to do, then I would run to them and help them. So that was very much within me, just helping the elderly. And also to help him in the car. And they used to see all that little things that built up to me looking after them.
And also, you know, I think you're very good kind of organizing things, arranging things. You were great on reception. So you had all this. They
that
look different jobs, but actually they're all very important.
Later on in life. But then Daddy decided that she wanted me to have, she wanted me in the center, and the yukti, the trick that she got me to do, that was actually invited me to, there was this Million Minutes of Peace project that had started, and so actually Jayanti, Sister Jayanti, invited me to, she heard that I knew how to type and I knew office work, and so she said, could you come from, they must have talked it amongst themselves, so they asked me to come and spend a week at the center. First it was 2 days and then it was a week, and I agreed, I said okay, and so then they sent me to Swiss Cottage where the Million Minute Peace office was. And so I used to, they asked me not to wear sari, which I was very happy.
Yeah, in some places it's not so appropriate.
Yeah, and I wasn't used to wearing saris, I was used to wear locket clothes. The only time I used to wear sari was when I used to come for 2 days to live in the center. And so I was quite happy that I didn't have to handle all this long piece of cloth. And so Daddy used to come there, and again, during every Thursday, and she used to give nectars and ask about everyone's well-being and everything. So that's where the bond started, like she used to see everybody and everything. And then after that, she invited me to come and stay in Baba Bhavan. First I used to stay in Tennyson Road, and then I was invited to Baba Bhavan.
Which is where Daddy also stayed, right?
That's where Daddy stayed, Jayanti Ben, Sudesh Ben, Jemini Ben, Charu Ben. And there wasn't a bed for me, but they still asked me to come and stay with them. So Daddy asked if I didn't mind sleeping on the floor. I said no. I was happy to stay where Daddy was staying. So, and then obviously when you stay in a place, you know, you come, there's a closer bond between all of them, and you see, I was watching Daddy every time, like, and I was seeing how busy she was, right from the early hours of the morning. She used to conduct meditation, Amrit Vela. People from different bhavans used to come, and 4:45 she used to give drishti to everybody, which everybody came so close to Daddy. We used to have lots of foreigners from different countries, so they took a lot of benefit from her presence. And so slowly I was starting doing things for Daddy. She used to travel a lot with Sister Jayanti, going to different countries. And Daddy used to pack everything herself first. And when I moved in, I was watching her, that everything that she was doing. And slowly I was taking over whatever her little... because she was very independent, she wanted to do everything herself. And then when I came into the picture, I wanted to do everything for her, to pack her, from all the tallies to the gifts to the to her personal clothing, everything. So not only Daddy's but also Sister Jayanti's. So I made them carefree, that they didn't have to look into any of that. I would take care of it. So I started doing everything.
It's interesting how the word care is... I mean, you talked first of all about how Daddy cared about everyone and made sure they didn't mind having to wait an hour and a half. But I see in your story, it's constantly, how do I take care of that one or that one or that one? And
But I didn't know Hindi at that time. I couldn't speak Hindi.
Wow.
And then Jayanti Ben said that, well, you don't speak Hindi and Daddy doesn't speak English. So then... how is there going to be that communication? So you have to learn Hindi. So staying there, I learned to speak Hindi.
Yeah.
And my Hindi became even more clearer when I became a Madhavanivasi in 2007.
Huge shift.
So yeah. became more polished then.
Yeah. In fact, actually, it would be nice to know about, I mean, I know we're kind of jumping backwards and forwards, and that's fine, but what was it like when you moved to India? Because, you know, and Daddy took over the role of the head of the organization with that really huge...
In India?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, when Didi left at that time, we thought that Daddy would be called back to India. But luckily, that didn't happen. And Daddy Kumaka allowed her to stay in the West, because Daddy was also seeing the enormous amount of service that was happening there. So she didn't want to call Daddy, she said. And Daddy was the right person, the right soul to be in the West. She knew how to handle the double foreigners, in that sense.
And also humbly, she listened to the double foreigners. She was always interested to know, and she liked their questions.
She gave personal attention to everyone. And she used to invite everybody also from Europe, from other parts of the world, to just to give them sustenance where she saw that this can be invited. So they used to come. They used to especially come for the 18th January. They used to come especially come for Rakhi. That was a very, very special period where our Rakhi was not an ordinary Rakhi. Our Rakhi was more like a Bhatti period, because it used to go on for a whole week, and that silence atmosphere was giving everyone a powerful experience which they were taking away with them, and it was just beautiful. And just, I know we're jumping.
Let's jump.
But, Rakhi period, there were like 400-500 people during that time, and Daddy became quite sick, because Daddy was the one who used to tie the Rakhi.
For hours and hours.
And our Rakhi used to start from 6:30, and just like Avyak Bab Dada, I don't know if any of you were here during the time, but when we used to come to Madhavan, and this was the early 80s, and Baba used to stay till the early hours of the morning, and I was lucky one to be there and to have that personal blessings, all those blessings from Avyak Bab Dada. And so in the same way, during the Rakhi period in London, Daddy used to tie Rakhi till the early hours of the morning. I don't know if the older ones ever experienced that.
I mean, just the physical effort of doing it, or not effort.
And she used to sit and physically tie the Rakhi. Mm. It wasn't just here they hand over the Rakhi in their hand, and there Daddy used to tie the Rakhi. And it was a whole process of Daddy tying the Rakhi and doing the tilak, and the next person giving the fruits, and then the third person giving the gifts or whatever there was. But at one point, it was just amazing how Daddy became quite sick, and she had this allergy, and her face was all swollen. Really, it was quite frightening to see. But just look at Daddy's soul consciousness state of soul consciousness, that all of us were saying, Daddy, it's okay, Sister Jayanti is there, Sudesh Didi is there, you don't have to sit, you take rest. But Daddy said no. I mean, we were scared that she was going to sit on the stage, but Daddy, totally detached from her body, because she saw that so many had come, and really she gave everybody such a beautiful experience. And her being in that bodiless stage, everybody then forgot about her face. It was just like it was Avyak Bab Dada sitting there. So that was an amazing thing that I had witnessed during that time.
I remember, if I can just interrupt, I remember one of the first times I came, I visited every weekend for a while too at the beginning of my life, spiritual life, and I remember Daddy had a really bad cough, and it was just painful to hear. and she was conducting class at one point, and she was coughing, and she could obviously see us all wincing, and she said, "Don't worry about this cough. It's doing its job, and I'm doing mine."
That's right.
And I love that.
That's right. She was very detached from her body.
You know, wonderful.
She said, "The cough will do its job, and I will do my job."
Yeah, yeah.
So she didn't care about that. But used to really see to that. That used to, many occasions, I used to put a hot drink there for her, and little things that I really felt that it doesn't matter how many thousands. I didn't see the thousands that were sitting in front of her. I just saw Dadi, that this is what I had to do. Her cough was more important than whatever event was happening in front of her. Because if the instrument is right, then she can deliver. And so wherever we traveled to, or wherever we were, Dadi was more important to me, and just seeing to her physical needs and her well-being than anything else.
And I know that, I mean, we all know and have witnessed your courage, but I also know how much effort you put into researching medical things to make, you know, to keep looking for new solutions.
Yes.
You know, that was
and especially when we moved in, when we actually, it was Daddy's thought to bring me, because I had been through her illness in London, and Daddy had many operations. She had a heart operation, her gallbladder out, a lot of other things, health issues. So because I'd been looking after her in London, it didn't matter that there was another sister in India that was taking care of her, but Dadi still brought me with her because of her physical
needs,
health. And when I moved here, I didn't realize that I was going to become a mother of divorcee, but that's what happened. But anyway, initially when we moved to Bharat, I was seeing that here, especially in Bharat, people consider the doctors to be God, and so whatever the doctors used to say, they used to give the medication accordingly to whoever they were looking after, especially the elder, the dadis, the seniors, and even now. But with me, when I saw what was happening, that even if she had a little stomach ache, and she would be given a long list of medication, and at that time I said to Dadi, and I was very honest with her, that although the doctor's written this prescription, Dadi, I'm going to throw it away. So there was that trust in the soul that he had, and obviously Baba trusted me, and then Dadi trusted me with whatever I was doing was the right for her and for her well-being. So she was quite carefree about whatever I was giving her. She had that total faith that I would do the right thing. So I used to throw away this prescription, and then I said, because I used to see all the other dadis and how their health was. So I was actually learning from that, that all these allopathy medication is a killer. And so I was going into more of the herbal and the other remedies, home remedies. And it used to work. That's how Dadi was kept alive till the very end. That more and more I was using the alternative rather than the...
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, many people would say that Dadi has an extra 10 or 20 years because of the care. And it was a trio, really, of Baba, Dadi, and yourself, making
very
sure
much,
that chariot keeps alive.
Very much. And, I mean, Baba's... Dadi's blessing, Baba's blessing was there from the beginning. And I'd just share that this blessing that Baba gave me in the early days when we were doing, when we was meeting one to one, this was in the 80s, Baba said that you're very mature, and with maturity you'll go very far I didn't understand a word of Hindi at that time, but that got translated later. Daddy also gave a very beautiful blessing, in which Daddy was saying that I've never ever asked Baba for anything, but Baba knew what I needed, and so he's given me a sister like this.
I'd like to turn the question around now and say, we've talked a lot about recently about caring for Daddy. How did Daddy care for you personally? How did she care for you?
She was always looking out for me, and just little things, but for me it was very touching that she did do that. She would make sure that because I was constantly on my feet and I was busy with everything, that it would make sure that I'd eaten, make sure that everything was okay with me, with my health, because I did have leg issues, and
I remember her time.
Yes, and even like on the stage, she would go like this to make sure that I had my footstool, my mura. And if somebody didn't give me the footstool, she would make sure that she would call the brother and say, give her a footstool, because of my leg problem. And so that was really nice. I was really too shy to ask for a footstool, but Daddy did that for me.
But what I was referring to is the lovely
video. I had a little little operation on my hand. And although we had the nurse to do my dressing, Daddy said, no, I want to do it, and I will do it. And she used to actually tie a bandage on me, and very professionally, not just tie it round, but very, very professionally, like how the nurses would do. And so, and she would kiss it, she would hold my, and for so many days she would do my dressing, she would make sure that she did it, not the nurse. So she was very caring. The more I cared for her, she was caring, that giving me that extra care and that extra love always. Mm. And little things like, just patting my face and just and kissing.
It was very sweet the way you
used to
touch each other.
Anyway, that personal
touch.
Lots of love.
Yeah. And I'm thinking also, I know that she inspired you in terms of study and whatever, and you wrote a book, you wrote poems. She would always be calling you on stage and you go, no, thank you. tell us a little bit about how she inspired you spiritually as well.
She did. On our travels, she would always make me get up on the flight, and she would say, give that passenger to Toli. But I said, I don't even know him. They're strangers, and how can I just go up and give Toli to that person? I couldn't understand it, but she wanted me to share gyan. She wanted me to share knowledge with them. And she goes, just go up and give him. Tell him where you're from, and tell him who I am. And, start the conversation from there. Just introduce yourself, that you know who you are, and I used to really cringe, and I thought, I wish she didn't do this, but more and more she was doing that. She was making me get up and just so that I would share, because she never considered me to be a Brahmani, a Brahmani Shab, the way just doing physical in around the house chores, but she always saw me as a service companion. And also I used to say to her, I'm not your Brahmani, I'm your service companion. So it was a nice relationship in that sense. And also, like, when we used to go to programs or class, I used to really literally hide that she doesn't see me, as she doesn't notice me or call me up on stage to speak. I used to be frightened because I never knew what to say. I didn't know how to speak. And so what am I going to share with everybody? Because I wasn't churning like how she used to churn. She was, she was like the ocean of Cherna. Anyway, she was sharing Gyan. So like that, then I thought, okay, I know what Daddy would like. So from her classes, I used to just sit in front and I used to write poems. Just, it was her classes, but just rhyming the words that she used to speak.
She loved it.
And she loved it, yeah. And I showed it to her once and she said that, okay, tonight, because in the evening there used to be 7 to 7 meditation and then 7:30 to 8 there used to be classes every evening. Okay, today you're going to share your poem. I said, nope. And we used to have a little fight. And she used to make me do it. And she would really, I used to get so embarrassed because I used to sit in the front and she used to call me up. And there were still little baby poems, but she thought it was great. And in that sense, just getting me to, training me.
Giving you confidence.
Confidence to speak knowledge.
Yeah. I'm aware that time is moving on. It's a lovely, lovely chapter. One thing that when I was thinking about our conversation, I really wanted to ask was, you know, Daddy was such fun. She was so entertaining and theatrical, and she loved to laugh. But, you know, like Baba mentioned in the Muli a week ago or something, it was always a laughter that led to spirituality, that led to uplifting and bringing people closer. Yes. And I wondered if you could share a story of, you know, Daddy just really doing something that made everyone laugh or that you know, that brought joy to everybody or something like that.
I mean, here in Madhuban especially, but also we used to have little cultural programs back in London in the early days. We don't have that, so much of that now, but it'd be nice if they did start doing that, to bring the family together. But yeah, Daddy used to always have this thing. But she used to actually get up and go up on the stage and join in with whatever fun and laughter there was. She would start dancing, she was like swaying her hand, because in those days she was able to walk and move around. So she used to really join in with whatever was happening.
Even in her wheelchair, you know, she would lift her.
Even in the last last 4 years, when she was in a wheelchair, the moment she entered the stage, and the brother used to know, like he used to put on loud music or song, and Daddy used to sway, like bounce around, like with her feet, and it was amazing.
Yeah. And the other thing about Daddy was that she had this amazing way of, she was a mixture of the most elevated wisdom and very practical detail and kind of minute, sort of, the minutiae of things. And it's like, you know, whether it was when she was visiting people's home and she'd look into their cupboards to see what was it. She had this, you know, and she might even say something on stage and then she will refer to it in a very practical way afterwards. I don't know if you have any stories about
she that. Would do that in the early days. She used to visit homes just to teach them that each one's home should be like a temple and not like a lockic household. So she used to actually, open up all the cupboards and see and teach them how their home should be. And she used to actually share that in class, and she used to quote their names and
did she?
Little, yeah.
And I suppose your Baba used to do that too. But always with love, right? Because it was always with a sense of the intention was to help and to do it together.
I remember, like, during class time, Daddy was always wagging her. She was famous for wagging her finger. She would always show
We've all
finger.
Had our fingers, ourselves fingers wagged at, or whatever.
In her stricter days. And then she became much softer, childlike. But even during that time, it was like she wanted to just bring upliftment in everyone, just pushing them forward with them. During class time, she used to quote their names and say, this one's this or this one. And they used to get quite upset, some of them.
I mean, sometimes it was praising and sometimes it was
Yeah, but
commenting.
Then Daddy used to realize, okay, so they couldn't take it, or it didn't go down well, or they couldn't digest Daddy's teaching. So then next time Daddy wanted to say something, she would quote it in the class. And at that time, they obviously knew that this class is for me.
Yeah. I think we've probably all of us heard classes like me, that one.
Yeah. But great soul, great human being, well-wisher.
And one final thing we've always noticed, how are you experiencing Daddy's presence now?
I am feeling her very much, and I feel that she hasn't left me, in a sense that whatever's happening down in Shantivan, in Shakti Bhavan, I wouldn't have the capacity to do that on my own, you know, meeting large amount of people, crowds of people, hundreds coming in and out of Shakti Bhavan, and just attending to all of them, sharing my experiences with them, and everything that whatever's happening there at this time, I wouldn't have done it before. During Daddy's day, so certainly Daddy's doing everything in a subtle form, making everything happen, and it's the same system of things that are happening when Daddy was here, and now before she was doing everything physically, now she's doing it in a subtle form, so everything's still happening, but it's Daddy's presence very much being felt there.
Well, I think on behalf of all of us, a big thank you for continuing Daddy's legacy and for being such a wonderful companion, Daddy, and keeping her with us for so long, and particularly for sharing your stories today. It's been, I think we've all learned something new. It's been a really time. And I hope you've all enjoyed the picnic and you're still in GRC enjoying that. but I think we're going to finish now with let's have a little bit of meditation together. But big thank you from all of us.
Thank you.